Today's first reading comes from the Old Testament, Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, from this time on and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, so that the righteous might not stretch out their hands to do wrong. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. But those who turn aside to their own crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. And our second reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 7, verses 24 through 37. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice. But a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him, and she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." So she went home and found the child lying on the bed and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon towards the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment of speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears and spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak." The word of the Lord. Amen. Because this week's selection of scripture continues from last week's reading in Mark chapter 7, I would like to briefly recap what I considered to be an important message. The key takeaway for me from Mark 7, 1 through 23, dealt with how religious people can get lost in traditions and practices as outward signs of faith, and disconnect the intentions of the heart from these actions. It is not to throw away traditions and practices, rather to realign them with a heart that is rooted by faith in God, a faith founded in love. This way of living can bring to life thoughts, words, and actions to show the world a faith that knows no defined religious boundaries, and reinforces Christ's message of God's plan for universal salvation through his unlimited power of reconciliation and redemption. Christ uses this moment as a reminder to shake us back into the mission at hand. And perhaps the scripture read today turns the reminder from us to Christ himself. This idea was presented to me in a number of commentaries and speaks to Mark's emphasis throughout his gospel of the nature of Christ, human and divine. When I read the Gospel of Mark, I hear in his telling the human characteristics of Jesus. Sometimes I relate to how blunt Jesus' comments can be. He doesn't hesitate to call out the disciples about their lack of understanding and faith. For example, in the beginning of Mark 7:18, he said to them, "Then do you also fail to understand?" This is not the first nor the last time in Mark's gospel where, to me, Jesus sounds frustrated with them. When I hear Jesus refer to the Gentile woman as a dog, I am not so stunned as curious as to what would prompt such a reaction. Rereading the scripture, I see that Jesus is trying to get to a place of solitude. He has traveled quite far out of Galilee and into Gentile territory. Prior to the story, Mark tells us of how great crowds were gathering in every village. And in chapter 6, Jesus goes to his hometown and is rejected. Then the Pharisees confront him about the integrity of his faith by calling out his dismissal of traditional rituals. Jesus reprimands their hypocrisy and then in private must explain it to his followers. Now, Jesus just wants quiet. This is so human of him. I know because I become frustrated and can be short-tempered when I feel pressed on all sides. As human, Jesus feels the pain and struggle of finding a human center in God. Mark is reminding us the incarnation is no walk in the park. Could it be that in a very human moment of physical and mental exhaustion, Jesus loses sight of his mission? Going back to the scripture, we are told the woman has found her way into the house and fallen at Jesus' feet. She is begging him to help her daughter. Jesus doesn't dismiss her outright. Instead, he tells her in verse 27, "Let the children be first, fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." The New Testament scholar William Barclay addresses the use of the term dog. In fact, the Jewish term was sometimes a term of contempt for the Gentiles. However, the Greek word used here is not the extremely derogatory term of worthlessness, but one that means little dog, like a lap dog a family might let lie under their dining table while they eat. There is so much more written on the culture and societal implications of this comment, and perhaps that can be another sermon. But I think in Mark's style of writing, Jesus is being fully human, a bit blunt. For me, the word that jumps out most from his statement is the word first. I interpret this to show that Jesus has intention to bring salvation to the Gentiles. The woman may have caught on to this too. Now, she could have gotten angry, but instead she transformed her anger into a gentler statement. "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Now take a moment here to imagine Jesus looking at the woman, perhaps thinking, "Aren't you being sassy?" Then could this have been the moment when Jesus is pulled from a more human response and back to the full mission at hand? The biblical commentator Loy Bradley Ashton presents the idea that for Mark, the woman is more than simple, quick-witted, but maybe prophetic. She is the embodiment of Isaiah 49, verse 6. Where God says to the servant, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." Jesus does not reprimand the woman for her witty response. He acknowledges her insight This speaks to the idea that God provides direction for our lives, often using human agency to do so. Is it possible to see God directing the incarnate Jesus through this woman too? It seems to me Jesus made that connection. He did a quick reorientation of his mission, and what comes next is a full display of Jesus' divinity as he heals the daughter, even though the girl is far from him. In the next miracle, Jesus' divine nature is again demonstrated in Mark's description of the healing. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears and spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." Like the other healing miracles, this one attests to the fact that the proclamation of God's rule is accompanied by radical changes in the lives of the individual. When we respond to the gospel, our ears are opened and our tongues are released. These two stories are wonderful examples which reveal Christ's human and divine nature and God's compassion and mercy. But there are often questions about why Mark placed them one after another. There are a number of good reasons, and as I bring this message to a close, I would like to share three. First, both stories take place in Gentile territory, giving credibility for the mission to the Gentiles as it is grounded in Jesus himself. Second, there are a rejection of taboos. The personal interactions and healings give value to people and conditions which were otherwise seen as unclean and to be avoided. In the first part of chapter 7, Jesus declares no food unclean. In today's readings, Mark is telling us that Jesus sees Gentiles not as unclean, but that they too have their place in the new kingdom. Third, both stories show how we reach out for those that cannot reach out for themselves. The mother for her possessed child, the friends for the deaf man. Bringing it into closer view, this church, as we share prayers, resources, and time, affirming our call to reach out beyond our own congregation, beyond our comfort zone, and minister with persons different from ourselves. This message has been front and center for me as I pursue work in chaplaincy. Today's scripture reminds us to focus our attention to God and keep pointing others to God as proclaimed by Jesus Christ. For we remember that when Jesus healed people, he not only corrected their physical problems, he also restored them to community. Let us go forward and do the same.